to the little ones that were gathered down here a few minutes ago, you may look at these seniors and think, oh, that is a long time off. No. No. However young you think you are, you will be where they are before you know it. And before your parents are ready. Now there is in Jerusalem by the Sheep's Gate a pool, in Hebrew called Bethesda, which has five porticos. In these porticos lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, paralyzed. One man was there who had been ill for 38 years. And Jesus saw him and knew that he had been there a very long time and asked, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered, "Sir, I have no man to put me in the water, and as I am going into the pool, someone else gets there before me while the waters are troubled." Jesus said, "Rise, take up your pallet, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his pallet and walked. Now it was the Sabbath. Afterward, Jesus saw him in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well. Sin no more, that no worse things may befall you." I can see them in my mind's eye. A section of the church library where I grew up that had a series of orange biographies of famous people. These biographies were written for children, and they all follow the same formula. They would talk about these famous people as children and then went on to say what they did later. I read every biography numerous times, but there were two that were my favorites. One of them was the biography of Jim Thorpe, an obscure Native American who went on to become the greatest athlete in the world. The other was of Glenn Cunningham, a name y'all might not recognize, but when he was a child, Glenn Cunningham was caught in a horrific fire, terribly burned, and the physicians told his parents that he would not live. Amazingly, he did. And the physician said, "Well, his legs are so badly scarred, he won't be able to walk." And my favorite part of the book was when little Glenn Cunningham, using his brother and sister as crutches, rose on his fire-scarred legs to painfully begin the process of breaking the scar tissue. And over time, he was able to walk without assistance and then found, to his amazement, it was just as easy to run as it was to walk. And so he began to run mile after mile after mile up to the flat Kansas plain. The gentleman who is our focus this morning was not made of Glenn Cunningham fiber. He had lived nigh to the waters of healing for 38 years and never made it in. The implication is others in those porticos, others who were afflicted, did manage to make it into those divinely troubled waters, and they were healed of their afflictions, but this fella never made it in. And Jesus, noticing this man who had been there longer than anyone, asked him a question.
Do you want to be healed?
Stupid question, right? The kind of stupid questions that y'all get asked about this time of your life. Do you want to really achieve greatness like you talked about in your prayer? Do you want to live a life of integrity and purpose? Do you want to be a servant of God? Do you want to achieve great things? Do you want to accomplish your dreams? And of course, the answer is, of course. Stupid questions. And yet, in real life, those questions aren't so stupid. When you began to weigh the cost of living a life of integrity and faith, when you began to weigh the sacrifice necessary to achieve great dreams, when you weigh the consequences of actually living for God, in a world that's apathetic to spiritual values, you begin to realize those questions aren't so stupid. They call forth from you tremendous energy and investment and commitment. Do you really want to be healed? What Jesus wants to know from this man is healing what he truly wants, or is it only what he wishes? It's more than a semantic issue. He wants to know, is healing this man's passion, his goal? Is it the very desire of his heart? Is it the focus of his being? Or is it only that he would like to be healed if opportunity presents itself? Do you really want to live a life of faith and fidelity to God and integrity and high purpose? Do you really want to chase your dreams and realize your ambitions? Is that something that swells up out of the center of you? Or is it only something you'd like to happen if it happens? Is healing this man's wish, or is it the very focus of his will? That's what Jesus is getting at when he asked the question, do you really want to be healed? If achieving greatness in your life is just a wish, if it doesn't swell up out of the center of your being and infect every fiber of your being, you won't achieve your dreams. It has to be something that's your purpose and goal and ambition. Do you want to be healed? Jesus has reason to doubt this man's powers of initiative. He suspects that this man has grown complacent, resigned to the status quo. I mean, he has lived next to the powers of healing for almost 40 years, and he's never made it in. Okay. Sure, he's had some setbacks. People elbowed him out of the way. His buddies didn't show up. They stood him up and they're supposed to put him in. Yeah, he's had some devastating setbacks and defeats. But to live nigh to the waters for 38 years and never make it in? Jesus suspects that this man has become complacent. He has resigned himself to the way things are. Which is why he asked the question, do you really want to be healed? My young friends, you're very talented. You have high ideals, great ambitions. But there are going to be times when those ambitions seem to have hit a dead end. There'll be times when you don't think you can accomplish what you desire. There'll be times when life seems dry and listless. There'll be times when you just feel like you're
up against a brick wall and you grow so frustrated.
In those moments, you're going to be tempted to resign yourself to the status quo.
You're going to be tempted to let your dreams go, to just be complacent with the way things are. But you cannot truly move forward. You cannot maximize your potential. You cannot realize your ambitions if you give in to the status quo.
Do you really want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? And do you have a plan? Do you have a plan to bring your dreams to fruition? An ambition without a plan is just a concept. Do you have a plan to get from where you are right now to where you want to be? This man doesn't have a plan. He's lived nigh to the healing waters for 38 years. He's never made it in. Notice, he doesn't seem to work. He doesn't seem independently wealthy. He has fashioned a plan of survival nigh to the waters, but he's never fashioned a plan to actually get in them. You need a plan, a concrete plan from how you move from one step to the other. And it may mean you have to tear up the plan, you have to revise the plan, you may have to create a new plan. But you got to have a plan. Do you want to be healed? How does the man respond? Well, I don't have anybody to get me in the water. And by the time I get to the water, somebody else beats me into it. What's this man doing? He's whining. You see the weakness of his character in the fact that he blames his paralysis on everybody else. He does not take responsibility for his own choices. Part of maturity is accepting responsibility for your own choices and embracing the consequences thereof. The old President Harry Truman used to have a little placard on his desk. The buck stops here. The buck stops here. Because he was aware that there's no more convenient personal or political ploy than evading responsibility for your choices. For passing the blame and responsibility on to those around you. This man blames everyone else for his paralysis. But Jesus will not let him get away with it. He says to him something very simple. Rise, take up your pallet and walk. Understand that our Lord is a spiritual genius. And he has insight into our character. He will reveal to you insights into your character if you will listen to the Spirit. Our Lord has discerned this man's deep, dark secret. And this is that secret. This man who has been paralyzed for 38 years does not really believe the waters can heal him. He doesn't believe in the power of those waters. As long as he hangs around the pool, he gives the appearance of wanting to change. He gives the appearance of believing that God can transform him. He gives the appearance of hoping for transformation. But he never makes it in. Because if he gets in those waters
and nothing happens, his world is utterly crushed. He has lost all hope. But Jesus challenges him to exercise just a moment of faith. Rise, take up your pallet and walk. My young friends, you are commencing your adult lives. And from this point on, especially, your faith has to be your faith. Not your parents' faith, not your friends' faith, not your minister's faith. It has to be your faith. That faith has to be a personal relationship with God that will sustain you on the moments in the mountaintop and the moments in the abyss. See you through moments of great light and terrifying darkness. Success and failure. Your relationship with God has to be that sustaining power that sees you through the highs and lows. Nobody else's faith, just yours. Jesus challenges this man. Do you really believe? Then open up your being to God's power. Take up your pallet and walk. And he does. He opens up his being, receives God's power, and suddenly he's strengthened and can walk. Jesus sees him a short time later and says a very strange thing. See? You're made well. Now go and sin no more that nothing worse befall you. Is he saying you were a paralytic because you sinned? No. Jesus is making a comment about the nature of faith in relationship to the divine. He is saying to this man, you have lived most of your life without any real commitment to God. And for a moment you have opened yourself up to God's power and you are strengthened. But faith is not a momentary thing. Faith requires a long pilgrimage of commitment. It requires a long process of cultivation. For longer than you have been alive, I kept a vocabulary word taped to my desk, the word pertinacity. Pertinacity, the steadfast adherence to a course of action. Jesus is saying to this man, if you truly want to be healed, you're going to have to exercise pertinacity in your faith. You're going to have your commitment to God last all of your pilgrimage. Your faith has to be a lifelong pilgrimage. It has to be marked by pertinacity, the steadfast adherence to a relationship with God. But if you do that, then you will hear Christ summoning you time and time again. Rise. Take up your pallet. Keep your dreams and move forward. I suspect all of you know the name of Henry David Thoreau, the great American writer. Wrote many things, but one line of his endures above all others. The mass of men, he wrote, lead lives of quiet desperation. The mass of men lead lives of quiet desperation. What was he saying? He was saying that most people are stuck in a rut. They work at jobs that don't fulfill them. They maintain relationships that don't satisfy them. They bear character faults that they hate, but they can't find a way to change. vocationally, relationally, spiritually, they're paralyzed. But you're called to a different life. You're called to a life in Christ that's an abundant life that gives you fulfillment and contentment, a life that calls forth from you everything you are, not a cheap life, but a life that brings you joy and understanding and fulfillment as you share your immense talents with those around you in behalf of God. The climax to the Glenn Cunningham story is this boy who couldn't live, who couldn't walk, who couldn't run, pits himself against the greatest runners of his time and sets a world record, 4:06 in the mile in 1937. The kid who couldn't live, the kid who couldn't walk, the kid who couldn't run. Rose on fire-scarred legs to become the greatest track man of his time. The mass of people lead lives of quiet desperation, but not you. Christ calls you to take up your dreams and move forward. Take up your dreams and move forward. May we pray together. Lord, indeed, you call all of us to rise up out of whatever despair, whatever rut we might find ourselves in, and become filled with the power of transformation. Upon young lives and old, may your spirit of courage and creativity and commitment fall fresh, that we might all be servants of your kingdom. Through our Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Even as the Spirit of God challenged you this